Man, thank you guys so much. Excited for today. We've been planning this for a while. Vision Sunday is something that's a really, really big deal in the life of a lot of churches because it's just another way for us to be transparent and to be accountable and to bring you along as the people of God who have said, hey, we're in this whole thing together and say, hey, where are we going? This survey, the reason that we are doing it is because we want to know where we are at as a church, where we are at spiritually, right? What is God doing in our lives? Are we moving in the right direction? Is our fingers on the pulse of what God is doing at Overflow Church? And also, where are we? We are a church that we are continuing to find every time we are talking to people that are actually really, really spread out. And so we are more of a regional church than we are just a local church. And so we were just kind of praying and asking God, okay, we now have to start thinking, what does God have for Overflow, right? Because we believe that as God brings the people of God into community, that determines where God is actually trying to lead that community. Right? And so that's the reason. So I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time to do that survey. If you're new here, thank you for taking it as well. This is going to really, really help our church. And so let me go ahead and put it out there. And I know we got some new guests. First and foremost, my name is Elijah. I have the privilege of being the pastor here at Overflow Church. If you're new, you came on a weird Sunday. All right, this is Vision Sunday, and so you get to hear a little bit of church business that we're going to talk about. It's not your typical Sunday, and so we usually don't do seven-minute surveys, you know, and we usually really, truly try to get into the Word of God through the book. Next week, we will be starting our series on Revelation. I know some of you are excited about that. I know some people have been like, hey, so the number 666. Is the marker, if I use Facebook, does that mean I'm selling my soul? You know, those questions, which I'm really excited to give over to Pastor Dan. But we'll it's going to be an amazing series. Just to decide on that, I'm going to be doing a Bible study. So it's going to be seven to eight weeks. And we are going to be just working through some conversations. We only have so much time here, but I know that book can be a very scary book to approach. And so would love for you to come on those Wednesdays. The dates are up and you be a part of that. We'll go through all of that. All right. That being said, we're in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. They had every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And here it is, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, today as we just kind of just share what it is that you've been just putting on our hearts, Lord, that we would be inspired, Father, about what you are doing in our community, the opportunities that we will be able to engage with. Lord, we want to go where you are leading us, not where Elijah's leading us, not where the elders are leading us, not where their staff, but where you are leading us. So we submit ourselves to you, Jesus. Have your way this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hey, at the beginning of the year, I started off the year with kind of this pressing moment in my heart. that I believe that God was moving our church into a season of revival. A season of revival. Revival really is just this idea about that communicates renewal, right? Like there's this renewal that happens in the soul of a person, right? This desire to re-engage with the God of Scriptures, the God that has saved their soul. And we call that idea of revival awakening. All right, because we really feel like this, like America, honestly, let's just be honest, America has been under this slumber. As a church, any church metric, you go from Barna to Pew Report, has been communicating this. The church in America has numerically been declining. And where it's been declining at, it has been younger people. Millennials started that movement away, and Gen Zers started that movement away. In fact, all sociologists actually say that America is now a post-Christian nation, all right? That we can no longer hold the moniker that we are a Christian nation. And I was listening to one scholar. I'm forgetting his name at this point, but is a PhD from Cambridge and just studies these. Oh, Andrew Wilson, that's his name. I was listening to a study that he was citing, and he was just talking about all these statistics and breakdowns of where we have started, where America is right now. And he says, you know, Europe, England has been here. We've moved squarely into this post-Christian space, right? And we've been here probably for the last, I think he was saying something like 50 to something, I don't know, some odd years. We've been squarely there. And he says, as your cousins across the pond, it's always funny when people from the UK say that, you know, as your cousins from across the pond, when we look back and see what you guys, you believers, you brothers and sisters in America, we see you guys lamenting, weeping, and trying to hold on to something that has slipped out of your fingers. And here's what his challenge was. His challenge was that you guys have to adjust. You have to adjust. You have to learn to live in what is the new normal. Right? You have to learn to live in what is the new normal. What is this new reality that we now are squarely in the United States? How are we to be faithful believers, faithful citizens to Jesus in a world that looks vastly different than it did just 10 years ago, right? Looks vastly different, right? These things that we might have grown up on, right? That kind of speak to this identity as a Christian nation, right? Have now, that's not the norm. That's not the norm. Here's the other statistic. People aren't becoming less spiritual. They're becoming actually more spiritual. That's what studies show us. They actually desire even more, right, to find out about what is going on in this world, that there's more than just the material, this natural world. Yet, they're not running to Jesus. Now, I think there's a couple of factors to that. The reason why people are not running to Jesus, because I just think, let's just be honest, and I'll give you just one baseline factors. I think that the church in America has not represented Christ well, right? We have not represented Christ well. There's been a lot of infighting. Quite frankly, we've looked like the world outside of this community. As we enter into Acts chapter 2, and we talk about what I believe God is putting on our hearts, as we went into a time of praying and fasting, that God, I think, is calling for the church to be awakened, to be renewed, to experience this type of revival that changes things, to be a disruption, to be a disruption to what is happening in the world. That we do not weep at what we feel that is lost, but we learn what does it look like to live in the new normal as the people of God. The word disruption literally just means this. Disruption is an abrupt change to a normal occurrence. I think God is calling us to live in that space. But here is the thing. Most people, when faced with disruptions in their lives, we are typically compelled to do one of two things: to cling to the life that we have known, right? This is the way that it was, and everybody's evil, and we want it the way that it used to be, and if it's not going to be like that, well then, like, something's wrong with you, or we adapt. We adapt. We say, okay, how is God moving in this world? Dallas Willard, the famous philosopher, Christian thinker, one of my spiritual heroes, once said this. He talked about this idea of the vessel trap. He said, a lot of times Christians get stuck in what is known as the vessel trap. The vessel is what holds this ingredient. So let's just think of wine. I know you guys are good Christian folk. You don't drink wine. Anyways, the vessel is what holds. Let's think about the wine jar. And every time throughout history, right, we get stuck with this idea of the jar. This is the way the jar has always looked. It's amazing, right? Like it goes towards this context. Whenever I sit down, I think of a beautiful candlelight dinner and all these different things. But for us to experience this beautiful moment, it has to be in this vessel. And what Dallas Willard says is the most important thing is not the vessel, is actually what's sitting in the vessel. That the vessel can change just as long as what is sitting inside the vessel doesn't change. Here's the idea. The gospel will never change, but the way we operate in this world might have to. This is the way that we engage with the new normal. And so we get to Acts chapter 2, and we find these apostles, these believers, having to rethink everything in light of the resurrection. Let me give you a little bit of context, right? These followers of Jesus are in Jerusalem. They're in this place, which is the upper room, and they are praying, waiting for the Spirit of God to literally come. And as Jesus had told them, because something crazy had happened, there was a disruption. Life as they knew it had changed. This rabbi from this little town of Nazareth, can anything good come from there, right? Comes through and literally disrupts the world as we knew it. In fact, the historian Josephus, who is in Rome at that time, writes in his papers and said, there is a disruption that is going on in this little town of Jerusalem. There is something crazy going on, and there are people that are saying, now remember, Josephus is far away from anything that's happening in Jerusalem. We know that Jesus basically didn't really go around. He basically walked the equivalent of maybe what is Benton Harbor and St. Joe in his whole entire ministry. And yet, Josephus, who is in Rome, he is a historian, he's a Jew, he is writing about, hey, something has happened, something that is a stone that has hit the waters of life and has set ripple effects through the timeline. There is this disruption. People are saying that a man who called himself the Son of God, died, rose again. And there are people saying that they saw him. We have historical records of this. And can you imagine what is going on? And so these followers of Jesus, which one second are crying and weeping, are now rejoicing. At the same time, they're mourning because Jesus has just left. And then he's telling them this weird news: go to the upper room. Go to the upper room and wait, because I have something for you. This is all that is happening. And so they're having to learn, what does it look like now to live in this new normal? That God himself put on flesh and he dwelt among us. And he moved among us. And now he is empowering us The Bible says that the Spirit comes down and it sits on them like tongues on fire, and everyone is speaking different tongues, and there are people, Jews, literally from different tribes which have come because for festival here, right? And they are like, what is that? This is like, what is going on? And they're hearing people saying things in their name, and they're hearing them proclaim the goodness of God, and they're like confused. And I wish I had time. This is Vision Sunday, so I'm not gonna dig into the text like I usually do. But here's what I want you to see. This is literally a picture of what was undone in Genesis at the Tower of Babel. God is now redoing right here. Tribes, tongues, different people are now coming together, and they're hearing the goodness of God and they're being united about it. The Bible says there is an awakening that happens. Peter comes and he preaches the second best sermon we have ever heard. The first is Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount. And 3,000 people get baptized. Man. If I preached a sermon and 3,000 people got baptized, you would never see me again. I would retire on the spot. I'm done. 3,000 people get baptized. And now they have to learn, how do we live in this new normal in light of the disruption that is the cross? They have to learn, what does this look like? And let me tell you something, it looked beautiful. Look at verse 32. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to sharing meals and supper, and to prayer. Something new had happened. There was a different type of fellowship that had taken place. Now, again, if you're reading this, you're like, man, that's really cool. I've heard that said over and over and over and over again. What does that mean? Who cares? Let me tell you something. This is the Greco-Roman world. It was all about status and power. It was all about tribalism and who can I use? Who is the patron that I can use to climb my way up the ladder? How can I stab this person in the back so that I can get that status? How can I be known? This was the greatest value in the Greco-Roman world. And so what you are reading here is not just, hey, here is a couple of really cool people that are coming together and they're like doing some fun things and that's awesome and everybody did that. No, what you're reading here is a scandalous document that literally puts a hand in the face of the prominent culture of that day, that is Rome, and says, we now learn to live in a new way because of what Christ has done. It is a new normal. New Testament scholar Scott McKnight says it like this. He says, there are four markers that distinguish the young church community in this new awakening. Number one was commonality. Number two was concord. Number three was commensality. And number four was commendation. Commonality, what this basically means is that they took their resources and their possessions and they held themselves accountable to each other. Again, remember the backdrop. It's the Roman world, right? It was all about them. It was all about their status. How can I climb my way up the top? But they said, no, no, no. How can we come in all together? How can we share? Because no, we don't want anyone to go hungry. Number two was concord, meaning that every day they met together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, and to prayer. I don't think you understand this because, again, we tend to look at these scriptures through Western eyes, right? We're like, oh, okay, they met, and then they just kind of went on their day. But no, that's not actually what we see in the text, because that is not the way Jews in the ancient world behaved. And actually, honestly, they still don't behave like that. It was deep community. It was belonging to one another. In fact, when they said that they met or they prayed together, they literally would pray in the morning, in the mid-afternoon, and then at night. Disciplined prayer. they would meet together in the morning, in the mid-afternoon, at night. There was like, hey, something new has happened. We're not just going to continue to go on the way that we've always gone on, like, but we will live in light of this new normal, in light of the disruption of the cross, that I can no longer act asleep because God has awakened me to the newness of who Jesus is. Amen. Number three, commensality, meaning that there was no discrimination. There was no hierarchy. In fact, you hear the Apostle Paul saying in this, that there is no more Jew, Greek. There is no more male or female, that we are all one in Jesus Christ. Radical idea in the first century Greco-Roman world. Radical idea. Amen. That in Jesus, we are equal. We are one. Radical idea. Number four, commendation. It means that they lived such a above reproach life that they didn't have to say anything. We know that later on in scripture, the Bible says that people started saying, hey, you guys are Christians. Do you know what that means? It basically means this. You guys are little Christ. You behave like your rabbi. People started saying, hey, they're those people that care about orphans. They're those people who care about widows. They're those people which care about those kids. Remember, in the Roman Greco world, it's all about like status. It's all about how do you look. It's all about how other people perceive you. It kind of feels like today, if we have to be honest. And so, like, if you had a child with a what would be considered at that time a deformity or a mental illness, they would literally discard children. Sometimes throwing them over cliffs. This is the world that was. That was normal. And yet, these early followers of Jesus literally invented orphanages as we know it, and they would go and they would grab these children and they would raise them and they would give them dignity. A new normal. We are going to have to learn how to live in that new normal. We're going to have to learn how to be people of God like this. And I think in light of everything that is going on, I think in light of everything that is going on in the world around us, in the chaos around us, I want to say this, Overflow Church, this season for us, we have marked as an elder team, as a staff in prayer. This is not something that just came up like yesterday. We have literally been working on this for months. And we have marked this this season. New normal. How will we learn to live in this new normal? Because we believe God has been doing something amazing, and we think that there's an awakening and a revival happening right here at Overflow Church. So I want to talk about where we've been and where we're going in 2 minutes and 40 seconds. God has been blessing our church in exponential ways. I cannot begin to tell you how humbled I am every time when I come into the space, how thankful I am for the people which call Overflow home, how thankful I am that you guys decided to extend an invitation to my wife and I and our children to be a part of this congregation. I feel blessed. I feel humbled that you would call me your pastor. And so, I have just seen, not what Elijah's done, because it's not what Dan or Joel or any of the staff have done. I have seen what God has done. This is what this, I'm going to tell you numbers. We're not about numbers, we're about people, but the numbers also tell a story. September of 2022, we had an average attendance here in our church of 154 in September. This is one of our lowest months. In September of 2023, we had an average attendance of 224. God has been gracious to our community. In 2022, we had an average of attendance of 41 children. In 2023, our average attendance of kids, that's up there right now, is 60. You can clap for that. I remember when I came to Overflow, we had maybe three or four groups. And some of them were struggling. And we were trying to figure out, okay, how will we move forward? And we came and we said, hey, we're going to be the kind of church that is not spectators, but participants. This is not a spectator sport. This is not how can we come and hear somebody do a really cool TED talk and sing a couple of songs and then go on our way. No, we are called as the people of God to do life together. And so what is awesome is that we start off the series. I don't know if you guys remember, because I know you guys listen to my sermons and you're like, man, my pastor is awesome. But I remind some of the, you know, the new people. When we came in the first year, we did this series called Made for More, and we launched into our groups. We now have 20 active groups at Overflow Church. Let me give you perspective. We average around 250 people on a Sunday. 200 people are in a group here at Overflow Church. I want to tell you something. I have had large churches call me and ask me, what is it that you guys are doing? We are living in a new normal. We're just living out what God has called us to. We have 33% of our congregation right now that are hope makers. Hope makers are those that make this go around, that sacrifice, right? That sacrifice, that serve. Not sacrifice begrudgingly, but serve with a heart of joy. Because up there, they don't think that there's a junior varsity Holy Spirit, right? But they are engaging and they're loving on your children. And you know how we know that? Because your kids are getting baptized, that they're giving their lives to the Lord. And studies show us that the majority of people who come to know Jesus come to know Jesus at that age. That's the reason why we invest like we do in those children's lives. Because the Bible says this, raise up a child in the way they should grow, and they will not easily what? Depart from it. So why would we not give our best to that moment? We're not ushering them off for kids' time. The gospel is being proclaimed. Amen. That is the future of the church that will change the trajectory of this world. So let me continue going. Oh, I got so much. I said 2 minutes. Just this year alone, we have seen 38 people give their lives to Jesus. We have seen 15 baptisms. Guys, I don't know if you know this. There's only four of those little bubbles on that 30 sign that we started last year, Vision Sunday, right? Remember that? And almost in about a year, we're going to be able to finish that out. I already know of a couple people that are saying that, hey, they want to be baptized. Let me tell you something, Overflow Church. We're going to throw a party. When we fill up that sign. So if you want to be baptized, hey, this is the time. We're gonna have a great time celebrating what God has been doing in this church. We have seen an overflowing bit of generosity. I'm not even going to communicate all this, and this is not the full list. This is just a couple of things that have basically happened in the time that in just this last year. We've done a book drive for Fair Plain East Elementary and Mildred C. Wells, something over 600 books that you guys were generous in that gave every kid at Fair Plain Elementary got two new books. And Mildred C. Wells got a book because of you and your generosity. We give to Wonderland every year, the Wonderland Project. And so we're going to do that again this Christmas so that people can come and shop at Mosaic, which is one of our partners here in this community, and have dignity, even though they might not have all the resources, but they will be able to go and shop and have dignity and say to their kids, hey, I was able to get this for you. Because it's not just about giving something. It's about giving dignity in the process. We have served our first responders at St. Joe and Benton Harbor. We redid the teacher's lounge. We had people, I think we had something like, I don't even know, like 40, 50 volunteers at Fair Plains East one time, literally putting in new goalposts so the kids can play basketball. Well, you guys paid for that. We put gardens in there. I mean, we could go on and on and on and on. We create safe spaces. You just heard today about how two people were just killed in a senseless act of violence. Our church, our elders, our staff has said, hey, we're going to create safe spaces. So when we do things like Spring Spectacular or Fall Festival and all those different things, you know what that is? That is creating a safe space for people to come and enjoy and also experience the love of Jesus in this community. That's who you are as a community. I didn't put this up here because I wanted to say this out loud. Last year, we came in, we said, hey guys, this is where we are financially. We just kind of found ourselves in the hole. We had just a bunch of expenses that we had to take care of. This building is old, and look around, it continues to shrink. The kids' space up there is already gone. We already had to kick Joel willingly out of his office because we're creating that space for the young kids. So like those are good things. But last year we said, hey, man, we're like financially, like, man, can you guys step up? So we did a series. We just talked about what does it look like to live in this space of generosity, as generosity is our privilege. And here it is. I can tell you today that our giving is up by 16% from last year. Because you are a generous people that live in that value. I think where the world feels like it is going crazy, I want to tell you something. There is revival happening here at Overflow Church. So I'm going to be really quick. I think for us in this new normal, there are three big things, ways that we're going to be moving. We kind of said we want to land on in this year. We want to serve. We want to reach the one more, and we want to live into that revival. And I'm going to be really quick here. God is calling us to serve. I'm so sorry. I'm going to stop for a second. I don't know about you guys. Are we hot? Do we have some air conditioning? Can we put that on? Because I'm about to pass out. All right. Lord. All right. We want to lean into this new normal. So for us, one of the big things is serving. We say that generosity is our privilege. It is our privilege to give of our time, talents, and our treasures. So I'm going to give you three big ideas that we're going to be working through in this next year. So from now to next October, God has been blessing us to reach people internationally. That we're connected to a larger body, Water's Edge Network. You saw the worship that was here, right? We're connected. And so one of the people, which is actually my predecessor here, he was the interim pastor during the season when you guys were searching for a new pastor. His name was Corey Castle. You guys know that he planted a church in Jamaica. And so, like, there's been this, we've talked often about how we can continue to partner because we have these deep relationships here with them. And they are now starting their every week service, but they're looking for a building. They're looking for a building, and they serve in Jamaica. They're serving orphanages, and they're just doing this work. And so we are going to be partnering in this new season specifically with Zeal Jamaica. And this is the church. We want to see the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven there. And we have a direct connection to him. So this is the thing. I want you guys to get some of you guys to get your passports ready because we're going to be taking a mission trip to Jamaica sometime next year. And we're going to be able to serve the kids at this orphanage. I had the opportunity to go earlier this year. at this orphanage here, which Azeel is knee deep in. What happens at this orphanage? Literally, kids, parents come and just drop off kids at because they just can't take care of them. And it's not because they don't love them, not because they don't want them, but they just can't take care of them. And these believers, which have come around the world, actually live there, and they resource them and help them. So we're going to be partnering. We're going to go. I got a chance to help paint some of the new rooms, and we're going to be going and serving there for about 10 days, and we're going to get a chance to experience worship with Azeel, and so I'm really excited about that. But we're not stopping there, because we are a generous people. Our Christmas offering, we usually do for the month of December, we do a Christmas offering, and if you've been around us here for a little while, we call it the greatest gift, because God has given us His greatest. We want to give God back, and a percentage of our greatest gift is going to be going to Azeel, Jamaica, to do ministry there. We also have seen, because of your generosity, us start eliminating our debt. We're almost paid off. We're under $200,000 owing this building. And that's important, because that gives us flexibility. That means we're gonna start thinking about some real things. So, hey, if you're not a member, man, I'm telling you, get to Open Table, because in January, which is our members meeting, we're gonna have our members meeting, and we're gonna start talking about conversations of what is next for us as a community. Because we're moving, we're losing space. So one of the things that we want to do, we want to live in that space of generosity. And so we're not asking you to do anything crazy. I've told you this before. God will build His church. I'm not worried about it. I'm just presenting to you an opportunity to partner with God in the building of His church. Do not feel coerced. Do not feel anything. If you see that God is doing something here, partner with us. We want to see our Hope Makers. We're already astronomically, like as a church, 33% is nuts. But we actually want to see that number by October get up to 40%. We want to see 40% of our church actively participating in a group that's either serving or doing something in our ministry. Here it is, guys. We are not spectators. We are participators in what God is doing. We are partnering with God in that. And finally, we're just going to continue to plant our flag and giving and serving in our community. So every time there's a need at these schools, we're going to continue saying, praying and discerning, how God can we be people that generate hope in dark spaces. The one more. As you can tell already from the numbers, God has seen, we've seen just exponential growth. We went from being a church of about 113 kids with like 113 people with kids to now being average attendance is around 240 to 250 people. So we want to continue to create room for more. And so you guys know these cards. We've updated them. They're called our Hope Sunday cards, that generate Sunday cards. And on the back, it says every nook and every nook and cranny. We believe that God has called us to be a presence. And so this thing matters. This thing matters. And there's four Hope Sundays that we participate in: Christmas, Easter, and we have one in the fall where we saw people come to the Lord, right? And we have one in the summer in June. And basically the whole idea is that we want to partner with God in seeing people come. We want to make room for the one more. We want to make room for the one more. That there's somebody in there that is a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, a relative, a classmate. There's somebody out there that does not know the hope that is found in Jesus. So what we are saying is that we will not just be spectators, but in this new normal, we cannot sit still. We have to proclaim what we have seen and what we have heard, and that what we have seen and heard is that Jesus Christ has resurrected and He is Lord. And so what we do is we say, hey, we are not in the business of trying to ask people from other churches to come to our church. No, that's not what this is. We're saying, you know, and you should know at least four people that don't know Jesus. Right. Write them down. Pray for them. Maybe in this, between now and the next Hope Sunday, which is our Christmas time, Start thinking of how you can invite them. And what we're going to do, right, our worship is going to do, my message is going to do, is going to be focused on presenting the gospel. And when we work together in this way, we will see people get baptized and come to know Jesus and new life happen. That's all this is about. And we say four times a year, we collectively as a community evangelize together. We are making room in all these different spaces. We are out of classroom space, so we're going to be moving. We're trying to create space in the back in our office. We're going to be moving that. You're going to be seeing more stuff happen. You're going to be seeing us clear out this room to make that into a classroom. The kids' room upstairs is going to become a mixed room classroom. We're going to do everything we can in this little space until there is no more room, right? To create opportunities for people to engage with Jesus. And so we're just calling it one more. One more. Because God has called us to go to every nook and cranny and bring God's presence. So how do we engage with that one more? Right? How do we engage with that one more? Last thing, I promise I'm going to keep moving. We're going to lean into the space of revival. We're going to lean into the space of revival. God has called us to generate hope. So there's a couple of things that's happening. As we continue to grow, this is what we kind of discovered in this last year, that there's just a lot of people who don't know how to read scripture, that are struggling with, like, how do we engage with the scriptures? How do we engage with the text? That's part of the reason why we're doing the Strangers in Babylon series connected to a Bible study. Right? Because we want to equip you with the tools in this post-Christian world. One of the most important things for us to be able to do is to understand and discern how to engage people with the Word of God. And so we're going to have two of these things every year from now on, a more focused, and don't let this scare you, but a seminary level teaching on the scriptures. Okay? And so, like, I've already been working on this for the last, we've been preparing for this for the last, I think maybe 3-4 months. That time when I kind of disappeared in the summer, you guys didn't see me here. Some of you guys like, what happened to Elijah? You know, did he run away? Even though I was here every Sunday, you know what I mean? I've been putting together this material, these resources for you. That's part of it, because they did what? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to prayer, to all those different things. So that's where we're gonna do. We're gonna leaning on that. I wanna see us be a church that is Bible focused. That's part of the reason why, if you also see in the back, we put up that discipleship library. We have curated all those books. I've read each and every one of those books, right? And so we've put that out there to say, hey, use this as a resource in your groups, in your individual lives, because we want to see the spiritual temperature of our church grow. Yeah. Right? We want to see that grow. And we're not going to stop there. Then we're going to mobilize you. We want to see God really move in our community. We're going to lean into the spiritual disciplines. I know that the Young Professionals Group is already going to be doing, just talking with Joelle, that they're going through a series on the disciplines. There's a video series that we're going to be also have available for you if you want to do that in your groups. But we're also going to be leaning into spiritual disciplines. What does it look like to continue to pray and fast? We're going to be doing teachings around that. What does it look like to confess our sins one to another, not to allow sin to hold us in darkness? Here's the big thing. God has called us to live in this new normal, to generate hope in the midst of darkness. And what we see in Acts chapter 2 is a community that learns how to change and adapt. Not to change the, not to throw away what's in the vessel, but to understand this is how the vessel changes. But what's inside the vessel never always remains the same. So I think God is calling us to shift just like the early church did. It's calling us to shift from fear to faith, from living as exiles to recognizing that the presence of God now resides in us, from being quiet and silent to proclaiming the hope that is in Jesus, from being a stagnant community that is stuck saying, I remember what it used to be like 10 years ago, to being a mobilizing force bringing Jesus to every nook and cranny. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for where you are calling us today as a community. I pray even as we worship together and we celebrate your goodness this morning, and as we look at what this new normal will bring to our community, we are excited, God, at the vision that you've put in front of us as we partner in ways that we believe will generate hope, not just here, but throughout the world. Use us, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.